Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast,
bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Hello and welcome to the World Cup preview for Qatar, the 2022 World Cup. You know, this tournament has a lot of crap going on around it, the least of which being that it is the first World Cup to actually take place in the middle of the playing season for professional soccer, as basically every World Cup for the past 100-plus years has taken place around the summertime in June, not to conflict with the actual soccer schedule globally. I don't know if you guys understand what this means, but this would be literally the equivalent of playing the Olympics and Team USA basketball just upending the entire NBA season to go play abroad. Except, you know, if people actually took Olympics basketball truly seriously. And yeah, people cheer for USA. But for those who don't understand, soccer is the most popular game in the world. By far. It's not even close. Like, there's not a close second. Like, if people in the U.S. took soccer and wanted to, like, actually understand, it'd be following the combined efforts and enthusiasm of both college football and the NFL. Apply it to 20, I'd say, at least 25-plus countries taking it as crazy as those two arenas combined. That's what soccer is in other parts of the world. In the U.S., yeah, we care when things like the World Cup comes up. Most people don't give a damn. And believe me, I'm not one of those who are going to try to convert you to say you must watch the World Cup. I get it. People have different strokes for different folks. But for those of you who are interested in getting the breakdown, I'm going to walk through all the groups. I'm going to walk through some of the odds. We're going to break this into two episodes. So, again, I encourage all of y'all to at least pay attention to this, because even if you aren't watching soccer, you might at least get some betting trends to take a look at what's going on. Because, realistically, there some interesting aspects that I think folks need to be focused on in terms of how this World Cup might play out. Because here's the long and short of it. Because of it starting in the middle of the season, these teams haven't had the chance to practice. So it's going to be interesting, because I think with teams not being able to practice, it's going to be even harder to score goals. Because normally when you get to practice, you can focus on things like pressing. You can play more defense because you know where your guys are going to be on the field. When you don't get to practice, it's a lot harder to kind of execute some of the more aggressive defensive game plans to turn the ball over and then go on offense, which would be essentially, and again, I know folks, some of y'all, and the people, the soccer people who are listening to this are like kind of rolling their eyes like, Dwayne, why are you trying to explain it for folks that aren't as key on this? Realistically, when they keep saying, oh, it's a 1-0 draw, 1-0 game, or it's a 0-0 draw, and they complain about why things are transpiring, nothing's happening. There's a crap ton of stuff happening. It's one of those games where you actually have to be able to conceptually think on the fly. You can't have plays scripted for you by your coach. You have to conceptually be able to remember exactly where you're supposed to be throughout the course of the 90 minutes and be able to execute. Like, to me, soccer is the baseball on drugs version of knowing your position on the field and all the folks you got to hit, like your cutoff man, everything else, all going in constant motion. Baseball is very static. Soccer, fluid. But you got to know where your man is supposed to be. And sometimes your boy might go freelance a little bit and do some wild stuff, and you just got to get a feel for what he's likely to freelance on. So I'm going to say a couple of things. In terms of the weather, this is going to be one of the hottest World Cups because of Qatar in general. This is literally supposed to be their winter, and you're still going to get temperatures approaching north of 80 in most of these games. And if you're running around for 90 plus minutes and it can still get up to 90, 100 degrees and you're sprinting around, you're gonna get drained. These are the kind of things that, even if you get, looking at some of these squads, sometimes people may say it favors a younger team, an older team, an older team's going to fade. Realistically, I would say what you kind of tend to see with some of the nations like Brazil or in South American countries where you have much more humid and tropical climate, like that tends to play a factor. Not significantly, but it does give a slight edge as you get closer to the final later stages of matchup. So just to kind of bear that in mind when you're looking at teams along the lines, such as a Brazil or Argentina, those are the two overall favorites. I'd still say you can't sleep on the likes of a Spain. I even though it's still not in those territories where you would say especially warmer at this time of year, I'd still say you can't fall strictly in love with that narrative of, oh man, it's going to be so incredibly hot there. I want Brazil or Argentina. I mean, Brazil is a 3-1 odds. I mean, so basically you're betting you're betting $100 to get $333 back. Argentina is plus $550. So obviously $550 back for every $100 bet. Then running down the list, you got France next up, plus $700. England, $800, along with Spain. Germany, plus $1,100. Germany's an interesting case. I kind of scratched my head about that Germany squad, but we'll talk about that a bit later. Netherlands plus $1,200. Portugal got some big question marks. Is Ronaldo playing on Portugal? Given all the things on the back and forth on his end, we'll talk about that situation. Belgium $1,800. Denmark $2,800. Uruguay plus 4,000. One of the teams that folks are kind of looking at, Uruguay plus 4,000 as like kind of one of those dark horse teams to bet on. Croatia plus 5,000. And you're going to say, well, why are these odds getting so much wider, like for some of these teams? It's because of the group stage odds and their ability to get out of group stage. That's what's driving some of these odds so much wider. It's going to get worse, folks, as I start reading down. Serbia, plus 8,000. The Swiss, plus 10,000. Senegal, dangerous club, plus 12,500. Ecuador, plus 15,000. Right there with Mexico, the U.S. We are not betting on Team USA. I'm sorry, folks. I know some of y'all want to be homers. Please, save your money. Poland, also plus 15,000. Canada, plus 20,000. I'd rather give it, like, just throw it out there for Canada before you bet on Team USA. We will get to the U.S. I promise you. Wales, plus 20,000, along with Morocco. Cameroon and Japan at plus 25,000, along with South Korea. And then you can't kind of keep going down the list, all the way down to Costa Rica at plus 35,000. There are some teams here. I don't know how Qatar is plus 25,000. I'm going to get to Qatar in a bit. I think they might actually be the worst team in the tournament. But they're the host country, so I guess the betting action won it. Like, or maybe they're getting so much steam on them that it had to bet them up. But Qatar should easily be at plus 60,000 at a minimum, or probably in that plus 5,000 range. It is truly that far out there in order for them to look at it. So before we get into some of the group stage odds, a couple of top goal scorer props to look at. Kylian Mbappe is plus 800. Mbappe plays for France. Some of you may know him from PSG. Harry Kane, obviously, is Spurs. He's plus 700. He has the high, the lowest odds. He's the overall favorite to be the top goal scorer. I don't necessarily agree with that because, again, you can't really trust England to like not screw up group stages. We will get to that. Messi plus 1,000, Neymar plus 1,200. You know, we, and even as I was getting this recording ready, the news started leaking about Karim Benzema getting knocked out of the tournament. So some of these odds may change with Benzema, because he was right up there with the goal scoring odds. But Lukaku plus 2,500, Memphis Depay of the Netherlands plus 2,500. You know, you're gonna get Vinicius Jr. for Brazil, I think, is a very interesting candidate at plus 3,300, because, you know, folks are gonna focus on Neymar for Brazil, but Richarlison at plus 2,800, Pedro at plus 3,300, along with Vinicius Jr., someone in that Brazil squad, and yes, Neymar is gonna get all the attention. But if Brazil's going to win, it's going to be the dudes not named Neymar getting it done. Neymar, we'll get to Neymar. We will get to Neymar. But just got to give you some ideas of a goal-scoring prop so for the top goal scorers. Guys, got to keep in mind. This episode of the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, many of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. But what would you do if you had an extra hour to your day? Would you go for a run, read a book, maybe take a nap? What if I mentioned therapy as a way to recharge your social battery? Therapy can be a useful outlet in managing a plethora of triggers that can negatively impact our way of living without us truly understanding them if not explored further. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries to empower you to be the best version of yourself. BetterHelp is entirely online and designed to be convenient and flexible to suit your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/throwdown today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/throwdown.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, now that we got that out of the way, let's start off with Group A, which features the host country of Qatar. Let's be clear. We'll start off with the worst team, Qatar. I told you, Qatar is the weakest team in this group. They got into the World Cup. I mean, the folks will tell you they straight up bought their World Cup hosting bid and the rights to get their team in there with some cupcake matchups. Yes, they play an aggressive style. Akram Afif and Amozea Ali are the guys who are going to score for Qatar if they score. Like, that's it. Like, if those two dudes do not score at least a goal apiece against Ecuador, I don't think they're going to, I really don't think they're going to win a game this tournament. It comes down to that. Like, in group stages, you got three games and you're out. You can either advance or you're out, but you got to be able to, get a win, because 3 points is critical. Because the draw only gets you a point, and we've seen way too many situations where teams, if they know they can advance with just a tie, they will literally play that last game out just to get each other through and screw you over. So, I just want people to understand, like, for a team like the Qatar, they actually need to be able to win this opening game against Ecuador. If they don't win against Ecuador, I don't see how they're beating the Netherlands, and they're definitely going to get in a bad spot against Senegal. I think Senegal's one of the most dangerous teams in the tournament, and I know Sadio Mane is out, and like, and that's going to vastly impact the squad. But Senegal still has Ismail Assar, Bouala Dia, and Ilvan Ndiaye. They have attacking options that can give teams fits. I think they're going to put up goals against Ecuador, and I think they can give the Netherlands a run for their money. And I know folks are so high on the Netherlands. Netherlands haven't lost in their last 15 games. Memphis Depay plays for Barcelona, excellent player. The interesting thing about this Netherlands team, I think, yes, as good as Depay is, I think it kind of comes down to Kota Gakpo. He plays for PSV abroad. He might be playing in the Premier League within the next 18 months or less. There's a real chance that he ends up being kind of the breakout star the way Mbappe became a breakout star a couple of years ago. I think the Netherlands are one of the most dangerous teams in the league. In the tournament. But I will say Senegal is that dark horse squad that you got to keep your eyes on. Ecuador, depending on who you talk to, they think it's like some people will say Ecuador shouldn't even be in this tournament because of the Brian Castillo fiasco for the uninitiated. He was a player who played in qualifiers for Ecuador, was ruled ineligible, then ruled back to be eligible. If this sounds confusing, believe me. Try covering that in the newspapers and following that that along. It's got a wild how crazy this is, but Ecuador, their main guy is going to be Enner Valencia. Can they score? Absolutely. But I still think that a Senegal squad is better than Ecuador. And I think when they match up, that might be one of the most explosive games of the tournament, where you're going to, both of these teams are going to want to attack. Some of these games are going to be low scoring, where teams aren't going to be as aggressive. That I would be very shocked by. I think Senegal-Ecuador is going to be one of those early round games in qualifiers that people got to take notice of. So my picks for advancing out of this group are Netherlands and Senegal. Netherlands are -225 to advance out of the group. Senegal is +500. Ecuador is like kind of around like +400, and Qatar is +1600. Although I don't think those odds are like large enough. I think Qatar should be like plus 4,000 or something like that. Just being brutally honest, I don't think Qatar is any good. But that's just me. I will just say that as the host country, sometimes you start seeing refs like pull some shenanigans with some of the calls being made. That's the only thing I would worry about is getting cute betting on some of these games involving Qatar, because refs can get easily pressured by the home crowd with how calls are being made. I would just say tread very, very carefully about betting games involving Qatar. I don't think the team's good, but I wouldn't go crazy betting against Qatar, because you don't know what a referee assignment can do to change the course of a game. But I would still say I'm not betting on Qatar in any way, shape, or form the way some people are. They like betting on host nations. To me, this ain't one of them, but I would be careful about betting against them in the games that they are in. Moving on to Group B, we've got England and the U.S., baby! We here! We are actually here! Although, don't get excited, because we might actually have the worst coach in the tournament. being perfectly blunt, the U.S. might actually have the worst coach in the tournament. But with that being said, other teams in the group are Wales and Iran. The U.S.-Iran match is going to be very interesting from a diplomatic perspective, because I could see both countries and the media coverage of that game being very, very interesting on both sides of the aisle of how that game's going to get treated, because that's the last game for qualifiers for the U.S. And I got news for people. The U.S. are quite possibly the third best team in this group. I know folks don't like to hear things like that, but I don't think this U.S. team, they're young, but the U.S. is missing two of their best strikers in Pepe and Siabachu. I don't trust their strikers. The remaining strikers are Ferreira and Wea, and I thought Wea was far and away a distant third to Pepe and Siabachu. People are going to focus on Christian Pulisic, who plays for Chelsea. Doesn't play that often for Chelsea just because of the chaos that is Chelsea. In the midfield, Pulisic has to be the man and just somehow get this team past qualifiers. Because Weston McKennie and Anthony Robinson, Weston McKennie and Anthony Robinson, yeah, could they bomb down the side and wings and get crosses through? Yeah, but I think ultimately, with the questions I have with this team at striker, this kind of comes down to can the midfield play be enough? Because the first game of the tournament basically decides, like, the Team USA's fate. They play Wales, opening match. So this is Monday afternoon. Pay attention, folks. The first game for the U.S. could very well be the ultimate deciding factor. The U.S. cannot lose to Wales. They cannot lose to Wales. And they could very easily lose to Wales, like, in match one. Wales haven't looked good heading into the World Cup. Gareth Bale basically, like, steals money from Real Madrid. Doesn't do anything. Like, he always makes fun of it. Like, his passions in life are golf, Wales, and then, you know, about three other things besides, like, playing football for Real Madrid. But he shows up in big games. And there ain't no bigger stage than the World Cup. So, besides Bale on Wales, you got Daniel James and Brennan Johnson, who, again, much like the prospects for the Team USA, they can also do some work. Nico Williams will clean up things on the back for Wales. The U.S. have got to find a way of scoring against Wales. I think the way Greg Berhalter, who's the coach of the U.S. team, his approach is going to be, let's turtle and not lose this game to Wales. To me, I can't think of a worse way to approach this game, because I think if the U.S. turtles, plays behind the ball, and just tries to play for the draw, I think Wales eventually breaks them down and scores in the second half of the game, and then the U.S. is going to be trying to scramble, and then in panic mode, and you know what's going to hit the fan, and everyone's going to be pissed. I'm just telling you now, I have a bad feeling about how this first game's going to go, because I don't trust the coach to actually put the foot on the gas pedal and have this team attacking. I think just playing, trying to park the bus against Wales, it's just not going to get it done. I don't even think trying to park the bus against England is the way to get it done. Between Bukayo Saka and Phil Foden, England, I mean, listen, they almost won Euro. They probably should have won the Euro. Let's just be honest. Like, the how England lost the Euro and still didn't bring home a major trophy. We're now at 56 years and counting since the last time the Three Lions brought home a trophy to England. People say it's coming home. To me, I don't think this is the tournament for it. Can England do it? Yeah, when they were in form. I think with how competitive the Premier League is, and with all these guys playing significant minutes, it's going to be a tall order for England, because they play in the most competitive league. You basically have this tournament taking place in the middle of the season. I think England has one of the hardest roads, because, again, I'm not sure how well the legs are going to hold up for some of these guys as you get into the latter stages of the tournament. I expect them to get through qualifiers to minus 300. The question is, between the U.S. and Wales, who gets there? Iran, the interesting thing about the Iran, though, is that this is the team that is going to play behind the ball, and they tend to be pretty solid at it. So breaking them down is going to be tough. And again, I can see the U.S. team trying to figure out a way to break down Iran. And if they've been playing behind the ball the entire tournament, and then they try to go play offensively against Iran, I think they're going to have some tough times. I think they're going to have some tough times trying to be spontaneous against Iran if they aren't playing aggressively throughout the qualifying stages. Realistically, it kind of comes down to set pieces for Iran. You've got Mehdi Taremi for Iran. And a couple other guys, I think is Osmoon is his name. I know he plays for Leverkusen in the Bundesliga. But to me, Iran's going to be one of those teams that needs to set pieces to work. I don't see the U.S. making out of the group stage. I'm just being perfectly honest with you guys. I think Wales nips by them, and it kind of comes down to, because you know Wales and England, like Wales plays England tough. They play them tough. You know, there's a real chance that Wales gets the draw against England, and it's going to force the U.S. to not get beat by England and get a win against Iran. I think Wales is going to nip the U.S. because I think they're going to be able to force a draw against England and get the win against Iran. And I'm not sure if the U.S., if depending on how they're going to get coached, I have my doubts about the U.S. team and if they can do what they need to do to get the W. So I'm sorry, U.S. fans. I want to be a homer. I want to believe, but this is one of those situations where I have my doubts. Moving on, Group C: Argentina, Poland, Mexico, and Saudi Arabia. Let's just get this out of the way. Saudi Arabia, worst team in the group. They are quite possibly the worst team in the tournament. I can't find a single reason to back them in any way, shape, or form. I wouldn't waste time with this team. And Mexico, El Tri, they're trying to get past the group stage. You know, usually they struggle in qualifiers, and I think they're going to have trouble again, just like the U.S. Raul Jimenez, he should be healthy, but man, the dude's been racking up injury left and right. Irving Lozano plays for Napoli. He's the other main force for Mexico, but I think this is gonna kind of come down to Bobby Lewandowski. You know, when Lewandowski is pounding in goals, Poland usually gets there because the entire team plays through Lewandowski. If Lewandowski has it going, they're going to do well. When Lewandowski doesn't get it going, they're going to go home. But with this being one of those game tournaments, and I told you guys, the lack of prep time. But this Poland team, for years, they've spent an entire decade playing through Lewandowski. They know exactly what they're going to do. So to me, it's not like they need prep time. They got one style of play. Go through Bobby. They're playing through Bobby, win, lose, or draw. I think Poland gets through qualifiers because of that alone. It's a set play style. Argentina, one of the favorites to win the World Cup. This is Messi's final World Cup. Another squad. You know what they're going to do. They're going to possess the ball, move it around, try to create space. You got Messi, you got Di Maria, you got Lautaro Martinez. The question is going to be who else is starting on that squad, but the game plan is going to be the same. They're going to have the ball in their possession. They're going to use set pieces. They're going to try to hit you on counterattacks. To me, this is one of the more straightforward groups. I just don't believe in Mexico. They traditionally struggle in qualifying rounds. I think this is probably one of the best breaks Poland could have gotten in terms of advancing. But, you know, I get why people have their doubts about Poland in the overall odds, because it's a one-trick kind of pony squad. But it's a pretty good trick. Not going to lie. Moving on, Group D. We got France, Denmark, Australia, and Tunisia. Let's just be clear with this group. It's France and Denmark. Australia and Tunisia, thank you for coming. This is like one of the more blatant mismatches of the tournament because Tunisia, you know, they're going to try to play hard, but like they are clearly outmatched in talent level. And Australia, if we were like talking about like teams in baseball, the Australia would be like a AAA squad with a bunch of dudes who have been like, and not like a true prospect laden AAA squad. It's like one of those old school baseball squads where you just got like all the older players and not really in the twilight of their careers, just trying to hang on. That's what Australia is. The question is France going to take care of business and win this group? Because Denmark is really solid. Christian Eriksen, whom you may have remembered collapsing during the Euro and getting a defibrillator installed in his chest. Eriksen's back in form. He's going to be joined by, he's currently playing for United. He's going to be joined by Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, plays for Spurs. There's another young player on Denmark that I'm excited to see in Skov Olsen, because people have been talking about him on seeing him in action in terms of some of the open field play he can make. So he's going to have some opportunity because Denmark should be able to style on Tunisia and Australia. It's the question of what are they going to do when they have to play Mbappe in France? Because even without Benzema, France is still incredibly dangerous. Dembele, Camavinga. You've got so many dudes on that French squad that can... Griezmann is like an afterthought on France because of how loaded they are. Granted, the injuries at striker are catching up with France, but it's Mbappe. like when he's ready to go, he's the best player in the world. Like it's just that simple. When he's ready to go and turns it on, he's the best player in the world. There's nothing else to say about it. So I'm gonna leave it off there. So this is gonna conclude part one of the World Cup breakdown. Part two is going to be coming up, hopefully, by the time this they get uploaded around the same time. But, we got the other half of the groups to go. But thank you for listening, and have a good one, folks.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.